It's time for overtime.
Now that's a tourist attraction.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros.
Toughest son of a gun you ever met, man. That Texas gunslinger ain't gonna let nothing get in the way.
With interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking. Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Top of the hour to you, hour number two on a Tuesday edition of Overtime. Welcome back to the show. If you missed hour number one, podcast link is available right now wherever you get your podcasts, ESPNSiouxFalls.com, or easier than both of those options, by downloading the free ESPN Sioux Falls mobile app. We talked with Sam Herder of Hero Sports in hour number one, talked about some offseason rankings and prognostications he's made, HeroSports.com, including the top signal callers returning to FCS college football, where Chase Mason up the road in Brookings comes in at number seven. You can view that article at HeroSports.com. We also made the announcement that Herder's new podcast, The Mondak Football Show, centered on the five schools that occupy the state of Montana and the Dakotas, not including the Bison that made the jump up to the FBS, but the FCS schools remaining. Mondak Show is coming to ESPN Sioux Falls this fall, Saturday mornings, as we make our way through the college football season before too long. Mondak Football Show keeping you company to preview the weekend ahead in conjunction with the FCS Football Nation radio show later on Saturday mornings as well. That announcement and the conversation with Sam Herder of Hero Sports available via podcast link right now in hour number one. Still to come in the show, Auggie baseball head coach Tim Huber will join us here in about 20 minutes. We round out the show with a lot of news breaking out of the National Football League, including a pair of signings made by the Minnesota Vikings, followed by the good, the bad, and the ugly. Well, let's dive into the scorecard while we have you here on the early portion of hour number two. The Cleveland Cavaliers got a big win last night, 112-103. Donovan Mitchell had 43 points, 39 of those points came in the second half. That tied an NBA record, 112-103 the final. Detroit falls, and that series now shifts back to the Motor City, tied at two games apiece. OKC swept the Lakers out of the postseason, 4-0 series win, 115-110 the final last night. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 35 points and 8 assists. Here's last night's final call from John Ireland.
Brings it into Smart. There's the three. It's no good. And that'll do it. And the season comes to an end. The Oklahoma City Thunder eliminate the Lakers 4-0. The final score, OKC 115, Lakers 110. This was the best game of the series. Frankly, Michael, it was the type of game we expected.
Every game.
In all of them.
Yes.
And we didn't get that until tonight. But the Lakers go down in the second round.
There you go. Good performance last night for L.A., battling deep into the fourth quarter. In the end, it was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and OKC with the win. Here's SGA on his individual performance last night and in the series.
Last year in the Denver series, I felt myself get better throughout the series. This series, I felt like I just like recognized my own personal growth and compared to, like, last year's semifinals, I think, more than anything. Hats off to my teammates. Obviously, their goal was to make my teammates beat them in the first three games, and my teammates did exactly that. Hats off to them.
So on the other end of that one, 115-110, the Lakers done for the year, and LeBron James and everybody wondering what's next.
LeBron, if you don't know what the future holds, I guess that means inherently this could be it. Do you allow yourself to kind of those last handshakes, this last press conference?
Last handshakes? No, I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, none of us in here know what the future holds. Nobody has any idea what the future holds, and I don't either. Like I said, I'll take time to recalibrate and look over the season and see what's best for my future. And when I get to that point, everyone will know.
And that's LeBron James. Everyone will know when he gets to that point. I don't think we'll envision an Aaron Rodgers stretch of that decision throughout the offseason for LeBron James. We'll wait and see. Most people forecasting that he will not retire this offseason. Let's hear from head coach J.J. Redick on the gap between this team and where they want to be as NBA champions sometime soon.
That's what we got to figure out this offseason. I will say, for the things that we set out to do and build our championship habits and build our championship communication and championship shape, I thought we were darn close to doing that. Doesn't mean you're going to win a championship, but I take a lot of pride in our players and what they all individually went through, what we collectively went through, and what we turned out to be. You don't know on day one of training camp what you're going to turn out to be, and just proud of who we are.
Frankly, based on the injury scenarios entering the postseason, you feel like the Lakers overachieved over the last few weeks as a second-round playoff exit is the final for the Lakers this year. What's next for LeBron James? That's a wild debate. Here's Vince Goodwill, who says he's not done.
We haven't gotten the farewell tour. We haven't gotten the extra pomp and circumstance. I think when the season ends, you're so mentally and emotionally drained, it looks like this. 3 years ago, when the Lakers were swept by Denver in the Western Conference Finals, LeBron gave the exact same speech.
Right.
I don't know if I'm going to retire. 3 years later, he's still playing. So until he says it, I'm going to think that he's going to continue to play.
That's Vince Goodwill of ESPN. Now Kendrick Perkins of ESPN on a landing spot outside of Los Angeles for LBJ.
I think you should go to New York. Real talk. And New York don't, listen, the Knicks don't have to give up nothing. Can you think about this for a second? Think about the money that the NBA will make with LeBron James in a Knick uniform on the farewell tour. He can take the vet minimum. You know why? Because guess how much money he's going to make outside the lines.
That's Kendrick Perkins of ESPN. Evan Cohen talking about another big trade piece this offseason. That's Giannis Antetokounmpo. What about a maneuver out of Milwaukee for Evan Cohen on those Bucks and Giannis?
You're not going to come up with a trade that is going to benefit the Bucks anytime in the next 5 years. Okay, so Paolo Banchero would be the centerpiece in Orlando. What is that going to get you if you're Milwaukee? They don't have picks. They're all in Memphis for Desmond Bain. What are you going to do with that? Miami has been mentioned. Tyler Hero from Milwaukee, good to great player in his career. He's not a championship player in terms of being number one. Khalil Ware, like what are you going to get here? Your Lakers, let's say they clear everybody out. It's an open roster. Give them everything. What's everything? Okay, Golden State, the four first rounders. And then what? Jimmy Butler? Okay, well then you're going to flip Jimmy Butler again. What are you getting exactly? Everybody says you got to trade Giannis. For what? So for me, before I even consider trading Giannis, I am going to consider building a team with whatever I have left around him to make him say no to the contract.
And again, Evan Cohen has a good point there, but that's been done before in Milwaukee. And certainly there are picks out there and it might not benefit you immediately. The market is the market. If you're selling a car and you need to move the car, you're probably going to take what the market suggests it's worth, and that might end up being what the Milwaukee Bucks do this offseason with Giannis Antetokounmpo. Now, the Sixers also could be argued they overachieved in the postseason. Tim Bontemps saying that he does not think this team tears things down at all this offseason.
They've got $100+ million the next 2 years in Paul George and Joel Embiid, and there's just really not a lot to do with that. You hope those guys are healthy and available at the end of the season. You hope for improvement from VJ Edgecombe, who had a phenomenal rookie year, and from Tyrese Maxey. But there's just really not, there's not a lot to do. It doesn't make sense to give up a bunch of draft picks to just dump one of those big salaries. They don't have a lot of flexibility to add to the roster. You know, they probably need to re-sign Kelly Oubre and Quentin Grimes this summer. But if they do that, they're going to go into the tax. Are they going to be willing to do that? We'll see. It's just hard to think that a lot is going to change for the Sixers next season or for the next couple seasons.
And that's Tim Bontemps of ESPN on the Sixers, who had a nice little postseason run. Joel Embiid saying he feels pretty darn healthy. Good sign after an exit just recently from the NBA postseason. Tonight in the NBA, T-Wolves and Spurs collide again for Game 5 from San Antonio, 7 o'clock on NBC. Series is tied 2 games apiece. Spurs are favored heavily by 10.5 points. Let's hear now from Kendrick Perkins on the NBA's decision to not suspend or fine Victor Wembanyama further for the elbow heard round the world earlier this week.
Victor Wembanyama should have been suspended for tonight's game. Like, real talk, as a guy that led the league in technical fouls, a guy that was suspended, you saw the video that
I
showed
yesterday
on First Take?
Yes.
I got suspended for a slight headbutt. This man looked him in the eyes and lined him up and threw a malicious elbow, a vicious elbow. And you know what it said for the rest of the league? You know what Adam Silver and the NBA said to the rest of the league? We prioritize stardom and views over the health of our players.
Huh.
Because Draymond is right. If that was the other way around and Naz Reid would have took out Wimby, he would have been suspended for the day. You cannot do that. It's about protecting the brand, not the names on the back of the jersey. And that's what that call was about when it came down to Wimby not being suspended.
Trump. So Wimby not suspended. He'll be in the lineup tonight. De'Aaron Fox is the questionable player for San Antonio. Questionable tag with an ankle injury tonight, 7 o'clock on NBC. Spurs favored by 10.5. That series tied at 2 games apiece. Last night in the Stanley Cup playoffs, standalone game for Colorado and Minnesota from St. Paul. The Avalanche have a 4-1 margin in the third and final period to engineer a 5-2 win. They now lead the series 3-1. Tonight we'll see game 4 from Montreal, Canadiens home to the Sabres on ESPN at 6 o'clock. And then game 5 from Vegas, Ducks and the Knights, 8:30 on ESPN. Major League Baseball yesterday, Twins and the majority of our area teams were off. The only area or AL Central squad in action yesterday was Cleveland. They scored a 7-2 win against the Angels and boost their record to 22-21. Today and tonight, Twins return to action at home at Target Field. Home to the Marlins, 6 o'clock pregame, 6:40, the official start time to that ball game. Other matchups on the way, Angels at Guardians, Rockies at Pirates, Tigers visit the Mets, Cubs visit the Braves, White Sox host the Royals, Padres at Brewers, and the West Sacramento A's play host to the St. Louis Cardinals, the nightcap beginning at 8:40. Over to the National Football League, Troy Aikman talking about his team, the Dallas Cowboys, and their expectations coming up in 2026.
What I think gets lost a little bit, the offense was so prolific last year, and then you've got a healthy Dak Prescott. And unfortunately for them, we saw it with Joe Burrow and the Bengals a couple of years ago. When you have that kind of play at the quarterback position, typically that means good things when the season comes to an end. And yet for Dallas, they failed to even make the postseason. Can that offense continue to play at the level that they did last year? And that's a big if. It was one of Dak Prescott's best years. It was George Pickens' career year. It was Javonte Williams' career year. I mean, there was a lot that happened on the offensive side of the ball. The numbers may not look as good. In fact, I think if you're a Cowboys fan, you hope the offensive numbers don't look as good, because that would then mean that the defense is better and playing a much bigger role in the success of that team.
So that's Troy Aikman on those Dallas Cowboys. That's absolutely right. Their offense last year was absurdly impressive. Had the running back take off, former Bronco Javonte Williams. Also had George Pickens fill in admirably when CeeDee Lamb went out. CeeDee Lamb got back. That was a very dangerous offense. The issue is there was very little defense to speak of in Dallas last year. They ended up cutting bait with Trevon Diggs, and the rest of the defense not scaring anybody. We'll see if they're a little bit better. They certainly addressed some needs this offseason on the defensive side, drafted well, a couple first-round picks spent on Caleb Downs, as well as a pass rusher. Dallas should be improved coming up in 2026. More from Troy here on another quarterback, Lamar Jackson, and where he expects Baltimore to be this year.
The expectations are what they've been. I mean, you expect Lamar to be in the MVP conversation. You expect the Ravens to be right there at the end of the day, which they typically have been. I agree with you completely, Greeny, that when you are a veteran quarterback, franchise quarterback, and you've had the years that Lamar has had, now the coach leaves, you got a young coach, first-time coach coming in, that puts a lot on the plate of the quarterback. So the expectations certainly are going to be higher for him. Hopefully he can stay healthy, but I don't think anything changes. They didn't make that change expecting any kind of rebuild or a slow development as a football team. So the expectations are what they are. He understands that, and he's probably feeling a little bit more of the heat than he otherwise would.
And that's Troy Aikman on the Baltimore Ravens. Let's hear from Adam Schefter now on the latest for the Patrick Mahomes situation. The Chiefs are going to play the Broncos. We don't know if it's going to be at Arrowhead or Mile High yet, but the Chiefs will play the Broncos Week 1 Monday Night Football. The big question on everybody's mind is Patrick Mahomes going to be ready Week 1?
The Chiefs have been very open and transparent, saying that he's way ahead of schedule. That's their words, their phrasing, way ahead of schedule. And it's hard to imagine that Patrick Mahomes, even him coming off an ACL, wouldn't find a way to be back for a game that would be 4 months from Thursday. 4 months from now, like, give Patrick Mahomes four more months when he already has looked pretty good. I think we have to operate thinking that he will be there until we're told he's not.
There you have it. Again, Pat Mahomes suffering a ACL tear and also damage to the LCL in his knee week 15. That was December 14th. And the thought that he's going to be back for week one, going to be pretty darn amazing for Patrick Mahomes in a big-time matchup on Monday Night Football against the rival Denver Broncos. More from Schefter here. We've heard this before from Adam Schefter about forecasting the future. What is next in the NFL? You know, recently we've seen a big step forward in international games in Mexico, in Brazil, in Australia, and now we're seeing games in Germany, in Spain, and of course London has been very much a bedrock for the NFL for the past decade plus. Adam Schefter sees even bigger plans on the horizon for the league.
I don't dismiss the idea that one day we couldn't see, I don't know that I've heard of this before, but expansion to the point where maybe the league adds one international division, four teams. That's a down the line thing, way down the line thing. But as we begin to look international, you have to let your mind wander and think, where could this go? And the first place we think it goes, obviously, would be an 18-game season, an international game per team, and then an international TV package. And I say, well, okay, well, if they're doing that and that works, then why wouldn't they just set up like one international division where you're getting the expansion franchise fees from those teams and you're having teams based there? Again, way down the line, way ahead of ourselves. But the one thing we know is the league has an enormous international appetite right now, and I don't think there are any bounds or limits to what and where the league could go with this.
So there you have it. I mean, we've seen the NFL Europe in the past, and that is a very long time ago. I still remember the NFL Europe teams on Madden 98, the video game back in the day. That's been defunct for a while, but the NFL has flirted with and has had quite the foothold in Europe for a while, particularly London in the UK. We also seen stops in Spain and also over in Germany recently, and we'll see games expand to new markets there. There is a big appetite over there, and maybe it makes sense to have four teams, and the scheduling would be a nightmare, but somebody much smarter than me could figure it out to have four teams over there, have two teams domestically for a two-week stretch, have two teams internationally at home for a two-week stretch as well. Maybe that's the best way you could do it. Travel would be very difficult, especially if that international division would be in Europe. Now, if you have a division in South America or a division in Central America, who knows? That's a wild, bonkers things to think about in the National Football League. But Adam Schefter talking about the possibility of that sometime down in the future. Let's move forward, rounding out the scorecard. Your D2 softball schedule to know about. Augustana onto the NCAA tournament regional round. They're the 8th seed in the region. They've drawn a matchup with top seed Missouri Southern Thursday afternoon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. D1 softball, South Dakota is part of the Lincoln Regional. That action begins Friday at 5:30. Huskers and Yotes on ESPN Plus. And then D2 baseball, Augie meeting up with Northwest Missouri State. Vikings are the 5. The Bearcats are the 4 seed. Thursday, 6 o'clock, the start time for that one. And as always, for Augustana fans, goaugie.com/live. Goaugie.com for the latest broadcast information. Goaugie.com/live to track along with your live stats. We will take a break when we come back. Speaking of Augie baseball, head coach Tim Huber, busy guy these days as he's got the team ready for the NCAA tournament yet again. He joins us to preview the matchup with Northwest Missouri State, talk about the season, talk about the ability of his team to show up and show out again at the NSIC baseball tournament. We're chatting with Coach Tim Huber after this break on a Tuesday edition of Overtime right here on your Sioux Falls sports leader. It's ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.
Miss a moment of local college and pro sports action. Stay connected and download the app for Overtime on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Right back with you. It's the middle of hour number two on a Tuesday edition of Overtime. We still have a lot to cheer about. Softball, baseball in our neck of the woods. USD and Augustana softball onto their respective NCAA tournaments, as is the Augustana baseball program guided by head coach Tim Huber, who joins us right now on the ESPN hotline. Coach, it's always great to have you. I'm glad you're still pretty darn busy this time of year. How you doing this week?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. It could be season over, end of the year meetings, wrap everything up, or you scramble to try to figure out where you're going in a day and go play some more baseball in the regional. And we're doing the latter, so I'm doing good.
The Augustana Viking baseball team headed to the NCAA tournament for the seventh time in eight seasons. Coach, I wanted to do a deep dive, talk about your program, your team in just a moment. But I wanted to ask you about Augie softball quickly, man. What do you find so impressive and enviable about that program guided by Coach Melstead? Because what they continue to do, also pretty darn impressive year over year.
Yeah, it's incredible. Greta's been here 2 years longer than I have, and I've been here 18 years, so she's been here a while. And you know, they had a little more of a historical success factor before she got here, but she's taken it to a whole new level. And Augie baseball has not had a lot of success prior, and you know, it took us a while to get there. So I've been saying for the last several years, we're just trying to catch up to the softball program. And Greta and I have a good relationship, and you know, we talked a lot actually this year with what we were going through, what they were going through, and they were having, as you probably know, a definite down year by her standards, a real down year. And she's like, geez, we got to get above 500 here. It's been a thing. And sure enough, what do? They just do what they always do. They get to the end and they find a way to win games and win the tournament, and they're right back in the postseason. So yeah, she's got a great thing going.
Augie baseball, Augie softball, both heading to the NCAA tournaments and the regionals. Coach, NSIC tourney champs, fifth time in program history. What do you make about this year's team and just the sustained year-over-year success that you guys have been able to have as an Augie baseball program?
Well, every year is different, and they all have to figure it out in their own way. You know, we did a lot of, I think, figuring it out kind of mid-early this year in our season and did some new stuff. I think I mentioned some of that to you when we chatted here back in mid-April. And, you know, I think that these guys have started to find their identity. They're starting to get some confidence. And, you know, we have four sophomores that are starting every day as position players. And, you know, our pitching staff, most of them haven't been through this before. And so, you know, that's just the stuff that you kind of know as a coach, but you don't know how it's going to go and how do they handle it. And you get into some of those, I guess you call them bigger games against the teams that historically have had good programs. And, you know, I think last time you and I chatted, we lost three games at Mankato, and that was a reset for our guys. We competed, you know, but we lost. We didn't find ways to win. And, you know, at that point, you're kind of like, you tell the guys, I think you're talented, but we haven't beat anybody this year. And so sure enough, they've started to figure out what that looks like. And since that discussion, we've won 13 of 14 and just, you know, swept our way through the conference tournament, including two wins against that said Mankato team. So yeah, it's every year's different, but you know, the process, it works. I think it's proven, and you know, we find a way to really hit on the mentality and what it looks like to be successful and not focusing on those wins and losses. And if you can do that on any level and with some consistency on any given year, we're going to have enough talent in our program that we're going to put ourselves in this position. And sure enough, that's the seniority of being around and knowing what that looks like, but then it's up to the guys to do it. So they've all the credit to them to finding a way to get there, and with a bunch of young guys now playing good baseball.
And certainly one of those young guys, just a sophomore, Kobe Eichmeier. He was tournament MVP for the NSIC, also the conference's defensive player of the year. Stat line, pretty darn impressive, Coach. 9 for 17, 3 doubles, a triple, 3 homers, also made every play imaginable, according to GoAugie.com on defense. Give me some praise for Kobe Eichmeier. Also, let me behind the curtain a bit about his process and preparation and maturity for just a sophomore.
Yeah, Kobe's a stud. I mean, he plays so hard, and we saw this. If I go way back to we started recruiting him, and nobody really was this skinny little redheaded kid who you just watched him play, and he just played like his hair is on fire, and he got after it, and I loved the way he played baseball. He could run, which fits our program. I had no question in my mind thinking back to what he looked like in high school, he was going to play defense at our level. I just didn't know if he was really ever going to hit. But he started to show some signs senior year of high school. Last year as a freshman showed some signs. And now in his sophomore year, the game it's just slowing down. And it's crazy to think that Kobe Eichmeier was the MVP of the conference tournament. It was mainly because of his bat. I mean, he just, you know, like you said, he just was hammering balls, had three home runs, took a lot of great at-bats, and then, oh, by the way, made highlight reel play after highlight reel play. That's what he's capable of. So he's just kind of coming into his own and plays with a lot of confidence. He's just had a lot of fun on the field. He's you know, infectious personality with his teammates. So, you know, even my kid Wrigley, you know, really likes Kobe. He handles that side of things really, really well. So there's just so many positives with Kobe, and it's been really fun to watch his maturation, to be honest with you.
Yeah, Kobe Eichmeier, a .358 batting average this year, 19 doubles, 3 triples, 9 homers, and 51 RBI so far. For the Augustana Viking baseball team, head coach is Tim Huber. He's our guest here on this Tuesday edition of Overtime. It's ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO. Coach, of course, this time of year, the season continues, and with the longer season, of course, health is always a concern. What's the latest injury update broadly you can give us about your team as you tune things up for the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, we're in good shape. I mean, there's always a little few dings and dunks, mm-hmm. but really nothing. Nothing major outside of, you know, we had some injuries during the season that really affected our team, and that was the other part of it. You lose a guy like Ashton Mystic, which I think I've already mentioned to you, and he was our number one guy, and so we've just accommodated since then and put guys into new roles, and so we're healthy. Yeah, we're looking good from a health perspective going into the tournament.
And Thursday at 6:00 will be game number 1. Vikings are a 5 seed matching up with 4 seed Northwest Missouri State. Anybody that's got any beat on D2 athletics knows a lot about that program. Northwest Missouri State, regardless of sport, they're typically near the cream of the crop, if you will. Talk to us about a scouting report on that Bearcat program. What you expect to see Thursday night?
Good question. I mean, the you're 100% right. A lot of their sports, basketball, has had some national prominence here. And in recent years, their football program's always been really good. And to be frank, their baseball program has not been very good mm-hmm. for a lot of years. And they've got a new coaching staff, and Tony Jandrin's his name. He's doing a really good job. I think Tony's in year 2, if I remember correctly. And, you know, they started to beat us on a couple of recruits in the Omaha area, and I'm like, geez, really? And sure enough, here they are in year 2. And I bet it's been 20-plus years since they've been at a regional. I honestly don't know the last time Northwest Missouri State's been there for baseball. But they look solid on paper. There's not a lot that jumps out at you. I've talked to a couple people about them. And they've got, you know, one big bopper, another guy gets swing it a little bit, a couple other nice pieces offensively that compete. But they're not a huge home running hitting team. They don't steal a ton of bases, and their pitching staff, you know, isn't going to overwhelm you. They have a number one guy who's pretty good the way it sounds. You know, kind of that typical upper 80s, 90 plus guy with a breaking ball. And so they're going to throw him at us, I'm sure, and he'll compete for them. And outside of that, yeah, I haven't played Northwest Missouri State since I think my second year at Augustana. Mm-hmm. So not very familiar with them in recent years, and it'll be an interesting first-round matchup for sure.
And here's the stat line. I did a little bit of homework while you were talking there, Coach. First time in 23 years and only the 10th time in program history for the Bearcats to make it to the D2 NCAA tournament. That's the opponent for Augustana Viking baseball, game number 1 of the postseason journey, Thursday, 6:00. Track along, follow along, goaugie.com. That's head coach Tim Huber. Coach, go get him as always. We'll talk to you down the line. Thanks so much as always for the time.
Yeah, hopefully we get one more time. We got some big stuff to play for here in a couple weeks. Thanks, Bert.
Certainly is true. Augustana Viking baseball, latest and greatest. They're on to yet another NCAA tournament, and they're not alone in our neck of the woods, baseball, softball. What a fun weekend it was to wrap up conference tournament time. Again, we got the Summit League baseball tournament still in front of us, but Summit League softball, USD, a 4 seed wins that thing. Augustana, a 5 seed wins the D2 NSIC softball tournament. And then Augustana finds their way through the NSIC baseball tournament. We got a trio of area programs onto the NCAA tournament here to keep us company into the middle of the month of May. A lot of fun, and always great to talk with head coach Tim Huber today on a Tuesday. We will take a break when we come back. A lot of news to get to out of the National Football League. Most of it centered around schedule releases and drama and where the Chiefs are going to play and the Broncos early on. The Bills are going to open their stadium in week number two on a Thursday night. It's a bad night to be a beer in Buffalo Thursday week two in the National Football League as the opening of their new stadium has them playing a marquee team in the Detroit Lions. That's going to be one heck of a contest. We'll dive into the NFL news you need to know. Wrap up the show with the good, the bad, and the ugly. Presented by Lewis Rugg, Lewis Lawn and Garden. That's coming up next on this Tuesday edition of Overtime.
It's so convenient. Sports on the go. Download the free app now. This is ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you, set to round out and wrap up a fun Tuesday edition of Overtime. Hour number one, we talk to Sam Herder of Hero Sports. Also, the new lead on the Mondak football show that'll be making its way to these airwaves this fall for football season. Saturday preview of the weekend ahead for USD, SDSU, UND, No Bison Talk. And then over to Montana with the Bobcats and the Grizzlies. The Mondak football show, you can learn more on Sam Herder's account, Sam Herder FCS on Twitter. That'll be coming, and coming this fall as a preview for each and every weekend during the FCS college football season. We just got done talking Aggie baseball with head coach Tim Huber moments ago as they make their way to face off with Northwest Missouri State. That action going to be going on Thursday, 6 o'clock in the evening time. GoAggie.com for the latest and greatest there. Let's meet the two latest Minnesota Viking signees. Minnesota announced yesterday that they have signed defensive lineman Smith Vilbert and linebacker Bengali Kamara after both participated in the team's rookie minicamp last week as tryout players. That is a big deal. Talk about rookie minicamp invites, tryouts. These are few and far between and also pretty darn rare to stick on a roster afterward. Minnesota signed not one but two. Again, defensive lineman Smith Vilbert and linebacker Bengali Kamara. Vilbert recorded 22 tackles, 6 TFLs, a sack, 2 passes defensed, and a forced fumble and more in 12 games with UNC. And then Kamara, more on him, 24 years old, joining the Vikings after playing last year at Kansas. In his low season with the Jayhawks, he had 56 tackles, 9.5 TFLs, 1.5 sacks, and 4 pass breakups. That's the latest Minnesota Vikings signees available at Vikings.com. Now for a couple changes of scenery for notable running backs in the National Football League. Isaiah Pacheco out of Kansas City. Kenneth Walker III is in. So Pacheco's new home is in Detroit, and the general manager, Brad Holmes, waxing poetic about his new running back that'll join Jahmyr Gibbs in the backfield. Getting Pacheco, me and Dan have always been big fans of the running back. It's his mindset and the intent of how he runs. As you know, it's hard to get yards in this league, and those holes close up quick. So you have the right mindset, you can get a lot of hidden yards if you just have a little bit more desire, and that is something that absolutely Isaiah Pacheco has. I told you as a Packer fan, when it popped up across the big screen here in the studio, dang it, that's a good signing. That is a great change of pace signing. I would not sign Isaiah Pacheco and say, now we'll go out and run for 1,500 yards. What I would sign him and say is, go get me 3 yards in a cloud of dust when I need 3 yards. Go grab a touchdown in a big important moment. That's going to be another really good backfield in Detroit. Despite losing David Montgomery via trade to Houston, they re-up with probably a little bit of a worse player, a smidge worse than Isaiah Pacheco, younger. And we'll see about the upside for Detroit as they get Isaiah Pacheco in-house and the general manager, as you could predict. A lot of nice things to say about Pacheco. Now, another guy not nearly as accomplished as Keaton Mitchell cut his teeth in Baltimore. Now he's a member of the L.A. Chargers. Offense coordinator Mike McDaniel showed he had a knack for highlighting fast offensive players when he was the head coach in Miami. And running back Keaton Mitchell of the Ravens has averaged 6.8 yards per touch over the last 3 seasons in Baltimore. And McDaniel identified him as a player of interest heading into free agency this offseason. They get the deal done. Mitchell saying in the article, Pro Football Talk, definitely motivating to be in a room where I feel like I have a chance and a shot to do big things. The Chargers have said so long to Kamani Vidal. They have re-upped to Omarion Hampton. That's going to be the RB1, is the youngster Hampton out of UNC. But Keaton Mitchell's going to be that change of pace guy, the lightning rod playmaker, involved in all sorts of situational packages on offense for the Chargers. The Steelers have agreed to terms with kicker Chris Boswell on a 4-year, $28 million extension. That's $7 million average per year. Ties in with Cowboys big leg Brandon Aubrey as the highest paid kicker in the history of the NFL. Boswell, now 35 years old, under contract in Pittsburgh through 2030. Tough news to pass along for Bronco fans, Cowboy fans. Craig Morton, who spent 18 years in the National Football League and became the first quarterback to start the Super Bowl for two different franchises, the Cowboys and Broncos, reportedly passed away over the weekend at the age of 83. Morton passed Saturday in Mill Valley, California. Broncos confirmed through his family, and he is one of only four quarterbacks to start the NFL's biggest game with two organizations. The other three, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and Kurt Warner, all ended up with at least one win. Morton's only Super Bowl ring came as a backup. His first Super Bowl start in a turnover-plagued Super Bowl V to end the 1970 season, a 16-13 loss by the Cowboys to the Colts. Morton threw the Cowboys' first touchdown pass in a title game. 7 years later, and after an unsuccessful stint with the Giants, Morton led the Denver Broncos to a matchup against his former team, threw for 39 yards and four interceptions before being pulled in that game in a 27-10 loss. Rest in peace, Craig Morton, passing away over the weekend at the age of 83. Now for some scheduling updates in the NFL. We told you that it's going to be the Giants and the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football in week number one. And now we got to additional updates about Thanksgiving. The Dallas Cowboys reportedly going to host. That's not breaking news. They host every year on Thanksgiving, but it's a big matchup. They're going to host Philadelphia on Turkey Day. That sounds like a lot of fun. Must-see TV. The Buffalo Bills will play their first regular season game at their new home, the cozy confines of Highmark Stadium, week two, against the aforementioned Detroit Lions. Announcement came yesterday. The contest will mark the season opener for Prime Video's Thursday Night Football package of games. The Bills will open their $2.1 billion with a B dollar venue on a national stage, fulfilling the team's desire for a primetime game to kick things off. I'm going to tell you right now, the mayor of Buffalo, do the right thing. Friday, city holiday, everybody off work, get to Highmark Stadium, be loud, win that ball game against the Lions. Us other NFC North team fans would very much appreciate an early Lions loss. The Denver Broncos and Kansas City Chiefs will square off September 14th in the first Monday Night Football game of the upcoming season. Broncos wrested the AFC West title from the Chiefs last season, ending Kansas City's 9-year streak atop the division. Site of the game not yet known, but the NFL will unveil the complete regular season schedule Thursday night, 7 o'clock Central. We're going to get a lot of leaks, a lot of rumors, a lot of substance, a lot of truth in the next 48 hours before that time. But the official schedule released Thursday night will have a full schedule breakdown for our area teams on Friday's show. That is all you need to know from the NFL for now. Let's get you tuned up with the rest of the sports world with a show-ending edition of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Who has been the problem child today? Displayed their ugly side. Whined a bit too much and now setting a bad example. Well, Bert is calling out today's headline makers with The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, brought to you by Lewis Drug and Lewis Lawn and Garden. This week, Roundup Dual Action Ready-to-Use Spray is on sale at Lewis, and typically it goes for $38. Right now at Lewis, just $17.97. I got to tell you, my yard is turning around. People with an assist from Lewis Lawn and Garden got some grass seed down, yelling at the kids and the dog, don't walk on it, leave it alone, let me water it, let me stare at it. But it's coming around in the backyard at the Burt household thanks to an assist from Lewis Drug and Lewis Lawn and Garden. Good news first, Coach Ben McCollum is a millionaire, officially receiving an immediate $1 million raise under his 6-year contract he signed last week, just over a month after he led the Hawkeyes to their first Elite Eight appearance in 39 years. According to the contract obtained on Monday by the Associated Press through an open records request, McCollum will be paid $4.35 million next year with raises of $100,000 each year through 2032. Salary was $3.35 million this past season. Worth every penny. Just look at the smile on your Hawkeye friends' faces. Other news to get to, the largest field in major championship golf tees off in the 108th PGA Championship starting on Thursday at Aronimink Golf Club outside of Philadelphia. 156 golfers are competing, and there are only a handful who figure to have a chance to lift a Wanamaker trophy on Sunday. They're the familiar names who have dominated golf for the past few seasons. According to ESPN.com, Scheffler, Rory, Bryson, John Rahm, and Cameron Young. Of course, they'll not be the only golfers with a chance to win. Three-time major champion Jordan Spieth will try once again to complete the career Grand Slam. Matt Fitzpatrick will attempt to win for the fourth time on tour this season and grab the second major of his career. And there'll be 11 LIV golf players on the field. Full preview up and ready at ESPN.com. Speaking of golf, we'll get to a comment from Rory McIlroy about the PGA Tour, PIF deal, the LIV Golf League, and more in a second. But other news to get to, bad, ugly news. Out of Clemson, South Carolina, the Tigers tied a program record with 9 NFL draft selections last month, reigniting conversations about how the Tigers finished last year with a roster so talented with a record of just 7-6. In his first comment since the draft, Coach Dabo Swinney said on Monday from ACC spring meetings, it's pretty well documented we grossly underachieved last year. That isn't a news flash. We just keep beating that dead horse to death. We're on to a new season. We grossly underachieved and underperformed and did not coach and play at our potential. We've had other seasons where we had nobody drafted and won 10-plus games. That's football. Didn't work last year. If you do this long enough, you can have a year where it just doesn't work. I don't care if you're Roy Williams or Coach K or Dabo Swinney. It doesn't matter. It's what you do moving forward, but I think that perspective is important. The Clemson Tigers, once extraordinarily proud Clemson Tigers just 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago, couple natties back-to-back, couple years separated there for Clemson. Very good program, but it's taken a notable step back under Coach Dabo Swinney. We'll see about what this year holds in store coming up really darn soon. And let's finish up the show with the ugly out of the LIV Golf League and the PGA Tour and the Saudi Arabia Private Public Investment Fund. Reigning Masters champion Rory McIlroy speaking out once urged the PGA Tour to come to an agreement with Saudi Arabia's PIF fund to reunify men's pro golf on Tuesday. McIlroy admitted it would have been the wrong choice for the PGA Tour. I'm glad I was wrong. I can admit when I'm wrong. And that one was one that I did get wrong. On April 30th, the PIF announced that it will no longer fund the LIV Golf League beyond the season. The PIF has purportedly sent more than $5 billion in funding the breakaway circuit since its inception back in June of 2022. The Sovereign Wealth Fund said in a statement April 30th that the sizable investment in LIV Golf is, quote, no longer consistent with the current phase of the investment strategy. So, Rory admitting that he was wrong. He was the one big stand behind the PGA Tour. I remember the commentary. I hate LIV. I wanted to go away. Everybody jumping ship, it seemed, at that time. Rory standing pat. There were other golfers also that stood by and stood on the PGA Tour. But to hear Rory kind of come back on the this whole thing and say, I pushed them to go here. They didn't. And that ended up being the right decision. I was wrong. Certainly always nice to get an apology when somebody is wrong. But Rory McIlroy, nothing really to apologize for. That dude went to bat for the PGA Tour, and the PGA Tour remains pretty darn solid here as the LIV Golf League feels like it's in and approaching its final stages. Lastly, here on the program, Breece Hall has signed a contract extension with the New York Jets. The Jets have gone 22-46 and gone through coaching and general manager changes since Hall was selected in the second round of 2022. Breece saying via SNY this week. I'm the only running back that consistently a top 10 back in the league that hasn't in the past always been in the most ideal situations. No doubt about it, Brees. I feel like now AG and Moog, they really put me in a position with all the guys they brought in, all the guys we're bringing in, and the team we're building around us to really flourish. God willing, we stay healthy and everything goes as planned. I feel like this could be my best season for sure. Positive outlook. Sounds like somebody that just got paid because he did. But you got to say, the New York Jets offense can't be a whole lot worse than it's been in the last couple of years. Geno Smith is a pro. He's not amazing, but he's not awful. He's a pro's pro. He's got Garrett Wilson. He's got Kenyon Sadiq and Omar Cooper Jr. He's got all sorts of people to throw the football to. And Breece Hall to hand it off to. Isaiah Davis is there. You got Braylon Allen. That's an offense with all sorts of talent. We'll see what the Jets can be offensively. You got to be able to walk before you run. Jets need to get that through their head here, but certainly an optimistic approach out of an ugly tenure so far for Breece Hall in the Big Apple. That is our show on a Tuesday. That's the Good, the Bad, the Ugly, brought to you by Lewis Lawn and Garden. I know my family is enjoying the benefits of Lewis. We were out over the weekend. Great prices out there on everything, but particularly for us, we are shopping for flowers for the front porch, flowers for the house, veggies for the garden, fruit for the garden, everything in between. Lewis has got you covered. Check them out at any of their great locations in the Sioux Empire. We'll take our break, our final break. We'll talk to you tomorrow when overtime returns at 11 right here on your Sioux Falls sports leader. It's ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.